Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. About a year ago, we talked to the actor Jason Segel about his foray into book writing. He just published his first children's book called Nightmares, and here's what he told us about it.
My whole career is based on me walking this fine line between having like childlike wonder and being really creepy. And so the book is like a culmination of all of my skills.
Well, since then, Jason Segel has not only published the second book in the Nightmares trilogy, but he's also delivered a critically acclaimed performance as David Foster Wallace in the movie The End of the Tour, which came out this summer.
So where do these latest projects fall on that fine line between childlike wonder and being really creepy? And what's next? Well, Jason Segel is back in town to talk about his new book at Harvard Bookstore tonight, and we're happy to welcome him back to Radio Boston. Jason, it's great to have you back.
Hey, it's great to be here. Nice to see you guys again.
So we're going to talk about this new book that you co-authored with Kristen Miller, Nightmares, the Sleepwalker Tonic.
Yeah.
But I have to ask you about The End of the Tour, in which you play David Foster Wallace, the celebrated author, best known for his 1996 novel, Infinite Jest. I have to say, I haven't seen this movie yet, but I am dying to see it because I've read about it just sounds incredible.
It was just the best experience. And a small movie like this, you know, it kind of comes and goes through the independent art house theater. You'll be able to see it on DVD on November 3rd, and I think it'll have a whole other life then when people can watch it on their TVs.
Well, that's great. Well, let's listen to a clip just to get us in the mood. Here we go.
I think that if there's a sort of sadness for people under 45, it has something to do with pleasure and achievement and entertainment, like a sort of emptiness at the heart of what they thought was going on.
So there's Jason Segel playing David Foster Wallace in the movie The End of the Tour. You've received some wonderful reviews. Some critics made the point that this role was a real U-turn for you.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's somewhere between a U-turn or a pivot. I don't know if I'm returning to something. I suppose what I'm returning to is when you're young, you sort of have the naivety of youth and you are making very bold choices.
Yeah.
And, you know, I look back even at the Dracula puppet musical at the end of Forgetting Sarah Marshall, which seems fun, especially now because it's been on the air. That's like a very bold move. Nobody was thinking like, yeah, great idea, Segel. Someone literally said to me in a meeting about it, well, you know what? It's your movie. And kind of threw their hands
but
up in the air.
But this seems like so much bolder in that, I mean, of course, it's a big professional sort of chance for you, but there's so much invested in David Foster Wallace. So many people out there have an idea of who he was, the way he should be played. I mean, it just seems like this was just full of potential for you to really mess this up, right?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I mean, I have a few thoughts on that. One is one of the things I realized, I had this moment where a lot of things in my career naturally came to an end. I was on a show called How I Met Your Mother that ended after a decade. A cycle of comedies I was doing sort of came to an end, and I was left with some time to think, finally, and reevaluate where I was at this point in my life. And there's a great documentary called Beauty is Embarrassing, and I think I resisted calling what I do art for various reasons, maybe even just that I was like a high school athlete. Calling yourself an artist always felt funny to me. But in that evaluation period, I thought, you know, someone who's an artist needs to be doing things that are reflective of where they are at a given moment. And when I read the script, there's a line David Foster Wallace says, I have to face the reality I'm 34 years old alone in a room with a piece of paper. And it was exactly how I felt at the time. And I just had to do the movie. And then I was really aware. I'm self-aware enough to know that when the David Foster Wallace script comes across someone's desk, the first reaction isn't to like slam down a glass of scotch and say, get Jason Segel on the phone, stat. But I think that there were some ways in which I was actually surprisingly well-suited to do this.
You know, interesting.
We were the same age, and David Foster Wallace was a dude, and he was funny and was dealing with some very complicated feelings, and I was too. But, there was a huge fall flat on your face factor, as we were saying.
So how scary was this role to take on?
Here's what's scary about it. You know, you have all these voices, external voices, saying he's the wrong guy to play the part and all of this. And, you know, the reality is I have no way to react to the hypothetical bad performance I haven't given yet. The important voice, though, is the one, the internal voice telling you that you can't do it. Hmm. And what really occurred to me was that, you know, you sit around privately at night or at dinner parties with your close friends saying, if I was only given this kind of material. And the reality is when you're given that kind of material, you now have to face the chance that you're wrong.
Yeah.
That's what I was most afraid of facing the reality that I wasn't as good as I thought I was.
Yeah. Good for you for taking this on, because, I mean, before these mics turned on, we were chatting a little bit, and you said that nothing, sort of the best things you have done in your life involve taking a risk. And
yeah,
that always seems to be the case.
Of course. That's what the books are about. It's I have not achieved anything that didn't involve doing something scary to get there.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what we talk about in the books. You know, this culture has really changed for kids. And it's no surprise. I mean, like, you watch a political debate and you have people telling other people their faces are ugly and things like that. So it's no surprise kids are afraid of being made fun of.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that can be a really paralyzing fear, that if I try something, I'm going to get mocked by my classmates or something like that. And the books are sort of saying, you know what? Do the things that you're afraid of. Because the reward on the other side is that you have achieved something, and that's where your dreams are. And so it's been something I've been really proud to champion to kids.
Well, it's interesting. So this book, Nightmares, the Sleepwalker Tonic, you know, this is the second of a trilogy. And last year you told us about the first book, that you really wanted to write these books about nightmares because it's okay to be afraid and that nightmares have something important to tell us, right?
Yeah, I think so. Well, to go back to the end of the tour, I was really scared at the possibility that I wasn't going to be a good enough actor to do this part. And that fear is what made me do everything possible to make sure that when I arrived on set, I was ready.
Yeah.
Like, I left no stone unturned. Because I thought, I'm going to walk right into this fear, and when the movie is done, I'm not going to give myself the opportunity to say, well, if I had just gotten that dialect coach, or if I had just read that one extra essay. No, I'm going to do everything that I can do because I'm so afraid. I think fear can be a real motivator if you learn that it's okay.
Well, I read this great quote about you thinking about this role, and you said, the last thing I wanted to do was an impression because that is a fight you always lose. I love what that says about sort of thinking about acting, at least to someone like me as someone who's not an actor. But how did you prepare for this role?
Yeah, I had some interviews of his. There's a Charlie Rose interview right from this time where I got to see him, you know, see how he moved and talked, and there's sort of a real ever-present visceral discomfort in that interview that was really helpful in how I built the character. But really, it was reading Infinite Jest.
Mm-hmm. You hadn't read it at that point.
I hadn't read it at that point, No. I had read his short-form stuff. Infinite Jest, while being fiction, is, I think, the most personal thing I've ever read. I think David Foster Wallace is every one of those characters and is basically a man saying, hey, I seem to be the one with the vocabulary, so let me do the talking. I feel really uncomfortable and dissatisfied and sort of lonely, and does anyone else want to join in this discussion with me?
Wow.
That's how I felt when I read that book, like a distress beacon.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds heavy, but another thing I wanted to ask you about, you know, I read that one of the things that director James Ponsalt really wanted to do was to convey also how funny David Foster Wallace could be.
Yeah.
And to that end, there's a good clip from the movie that we want to listen to here.
A lot of women in magazines are pretty in a way that is not erotic because they don't look like anybody that you know.
That's true.
Yeah. Like, you can't imagine them putting a quarter in a parking meter or, like, eating a bologna sandwich. Whereas Alanis Morissette, I can and have imagined her like chowing down on a bologna sandwich.
It's a great clip. One of the many that makes me want to see this movie. So can you talk about how you portrayed Wallace's kind of humor?
Yeah, well, you know, he's a 34-year-old guy. It's funny. I had access to these tapes. The movie is about this four-day, five-day interview between David Lipsky, a Rolling Stone reporter, who has set out to cover David Foster Wallace. on the Infinite Jest book tour. So they're on a road trip, essentially, in real life, you know. And in these recordings, you'll hear them talking about some of this heavy stuff. But then, honestly, like, do you remember Hanson's Mbop?
Yes.
Like, at one point, that comes on the radio, and David Foster Wallace does, like, a 10-minute dissertation on Hanson and their role in pop culture. So that sort of stuff was really important going into the movie because, I mean, in reality, I think the only way the movie works is if you want to be in the back of that car.
Yeah.
If you're sitting listening to your parents say smart things to each other, it's going to be a boring movie. And I think hopefully what we achieved was that you hit on some real universal issues in kind of a fun way, which is what David Foster Wallace did in his writing.
Well, Jason Segel, actor, comedian, author, and screenwriter, he'll be talking about his new book, Nightmares, The Sleepwalker Tonic, at the Harvard Bookstore tonight. And a very quick question. We literally have 10 seconds left. But yeah. I'm really curious how kids are responding to these books and what that means to you.
You know what? It seems to be letting kids know that it's the way they feel is absolutely okay. And that's the best message I can give them.
All right, Jason Segel, thanks so much for coming in. We're very grateful.
Thank you, man.
Hear, hear. What a great message for kids. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.